The following message is brought to you by Cashin First Baptist Church and Pastor Greg Davis in Cashin, Oklahoma. For more information about Cashin FBC, please visit cashinfbc.org.
If you have your Bible, go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We're going to read through verse 27. But really today, the only consideration we're going to have is verse 19 through verse 21. But this is a context that runs together, and we don't want to forget that as we read the Bible. We want to read it accurately. So let's look starting in verse 19. This you know, my beloved brethren, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Let's pray. Father God, you have given us the church through the Word. You've birthed out the church literally through the preaching of the gospel. That's why we're here today. Someone preached the gospel and we believed it, repented of our sins, and Lord, you have granted to us that new life that the Bible so often speaks of. And Lord, because of that, we are to treasure the Word. We're to treat it with the utmost of care. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be convicted of that today, that we would not trivialize the Word, but we would treasure the Word. God, we pray each and every week to give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts that are quick to obey. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a physical copy of God's Word in your hand, and some of you do, maybe some of you have it on your phone, in most versions of the Bible, you have bold type heading above your paragraphs. You'll notice it there. These are not inspired by the Holy Spirit. The chapters and verses are not inspired by the Holy Spirit. Only the words are inspired. But it doesn't mean these headings are not important. And here's why they're important: because they tell us the subject of the text we're dealing with. So there's a paragraph, there's a heading above it in bold type, and that helps us through the editors and those who put the Bible together to help us to understand what we're studying. And so when I came to Christ in 1999, one of the first gifts that my in-laws gave me was an old NIV, but I say old now because it was 20 plus years ago, an NIV study Bible. And so in that NIV study Bible that I still read to this day in my personal quiet time, devotional time, it has headings in that study Bible like trials and temptations, which would obviously fit chapter 1, faith and deeds in chapter 2, and then the taming of the tongue in chapter 3. But above this section are two very accurate words that describe exactly what we're studying. And it's the words listening and doing. Listening and doing. And here's why I believe this is an accurate translation of what's going on in this section of Scripture. Because James is calling us to obey the Word and do what it says. You just read it there. Look in chapter 1 and verse 22, prove yourselves doers of the word. Now, every commentator and every study Bible and every person that's ever preached this text will say that's the subject of the text, doing the Word of God. But here's a mistake that is so often made, even in the best commentaries you read, the best study Bibles you can put your hands on, and even faithful pastors who preach this text. They'll take that section of Scripture, they'll say we need to be doers of the Word, but then we back up to verse 19, and all of a sudden we pluck this out of its context, and this becomes a strictly relational passage. And here's what I mean by that. They'll say, you can be better in your marriage if you'll listen better. Right? I know that we say that. That's common sense. Or you can have better friendships, businesses, etc., etc., etc. And so this becomes a purely relational verse. Good listeners in all kinds of relationships. And I want to say this. That is a perfectly good application of this section of Scripture. As a matter of fact, I would not hesitate at all in a biblical counseling setting to say, your marriage will be a better marriage if you're a better listener. I wouldn't hesitate one bit. But I want to draw your attention to something that I think is being taken out of context. The listening and the doing go together. And hear me out for just a second. We want to be doers of the Word. That's what the text is about. But we also want to be careful listeners of the Word. And I want to prove that this is what this is about. Would you look at verse 22? Look at verse 22. He says, prove yourselves doers of the Word and not merely hearers. So James is assuming that we're hearing the Word. The question he's asking is, are we executing in the area of obedience? You see, this entire section of Scripture is all about the Word of God and the believer's interaction with the Word of God. As a matter of fact, if you'll go back to verse 18, I want you to underline every time that we see the Word of God mentioned in this passage. Look at verse 18. Verse 18 says that He has brought us forth, underline this, by the Word of truth. That's the first place that we hear it. And then all of a sudden in verse 19, we're to assume that James has moved on to a different topic. James is now talking about how to have successful relationships. No, James is still talking about how we interact as believers with the Word of God. Look at it again in verse 21. Verse 21, we have another synonym here, the Word that is implanted in you. The Word that's implanted in you. And then in verse 22 and 23, he calls it the Word. In verse 25, he calls it the perfect law and the perfect law of liberty. So this section of Scripture is all about how we as people who've been brought from death to life by the Word of God should now interact with the Word of God. Does everybody see that there? I mean, we're kind of informal today, right? We're out here outside. Does everybody see what I'm talking about here in the text? It's all about the Word of God and how we interact with it. Now, there's an obvious truth here that we should see. Not only does God use the Word to birth out the church, to bring them from death to life by the gospel, but He also uses the Word not only to regenerate us, but also to sanctify us. In other words, you're going to say, how do I grow in my faith? How do I grow in my likeness to Jesus Christ? And the answer is through the same means God brought you to life, through the Word of God, the living and acting, active Word of God. So here's what I want to do. I want you to look at, because it's not my outline, it's God's outline, I want you to look here for just a moment at three areas of interaction that every one of us should have with the Word of God. Verse 19, we need to listen to the Word of God. Do you see it there in verse 19? He says in verse 19, this you know, my beloved brethren, everyone must be quick to hear. That's talking about hearing the Word of God. Secondly, we need to receive the Word of God. Now, I want you to see this in verse 21. In verse 21, he says, with humility or in humility, receive the word implanted. If you're here today, you need to come back next week if you want to hear what that means. And then lastly, we need to obey the word of God. That's verse 22. Be doers of the word. So the only thing that we're going to cover today, because of the time that we have, the only thing that we're going to cover today is being hearers of the word. You and I need to listen to the word of God. Be quick to hear. Now, when we talk about being quick to hear, I want to explain what James is talking about. If you look up this word quick, because we wouldn't normally in this context say you need to be quick to hear, we would say something like this, and it's perfectly fitting for this text. You need to be ready to hear the word of God. You need to be careful to hear the word of God. You need to be prepared to hear the word of God. Now that seems like an obvious thing. So why is James taking a whole section of scripture to tell us that we need to hear the word of God when it seems so obvious? How many of you here today are married? Men, just men. How many of you are married? Okay, I want to ask you an honest question, and I want you to just nod yes or no. Have you ever been in a conversation with your wife, and you've been conversing, and there's lots of words exchanged, and in the middle of the conversation, your wife stops you, and she says this, "You didn't hear," ladies, can you affirm this? "You didn't hear anything I just said, did you?" And the husband always has the same reaction. Trust me, I've been there. We all say the same thing. "Oh, yes, honey, I heard everything you said." And then what's the wife say? I need you to repeat it back to me then. And what do husbands do? They stumble and they stammer and they say, "Well, I mean, I think you said this," or "I think you said that." Well, here's the point. We can hear and not really listen. You see, that's James's point in James chapter 1. We can hear the word of God, but the point is, are we really listening to the word of God? That happens often when we come to this idea of listening to the word of God. And this happens often when we're in the presence of God's word, is we're hearing it but not listening to it. Jesus says in the book of Revelation, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Revelation chapter 2, verse 11. So I want to give you a perfect illustration this morning from two different passages in the New Testament of giving you this idea of listening to the Word of God. Go to Luke chapter 10. If you have a little sheet there, you know where we need to be. Luke chapter 10, it's in the Gospels. And I want you to put your finger on verse 38. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. "Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village," this is talking about Jesus, "and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at his feet," the Lord's feet. Notice what it says here. You see it? Listening to his word. "But Martha was distracted by all her preparations, and she came up to Jesus, and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me.' But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall never be taken away from her.'" Notice there's two women here, both literally in the presence of God's Word. Jesus, according to John chapter 1, is the Word made flesh, John 1:14. They're there, and no doubt Martha and Mary are hearing the Word of God. But the text indicates to us that there's only one listening. Verse 42, did you see it there? Or verse 38, rather? She's listening. And then notice what Jesus does at the end of this. He commends the one who's listening to his word. He says, only one thing is necessary. Brothers and sisters in Christ, listen to me for just a moment. Serving in the church is important, but it's not the primary thing. Putting ourselves under the authority of God's Word is the primary thing. It's the most important thing. And he says, Mary accomplished that. Now, there's one other place I want you to turn to see this, is Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Just to your right, where you are. Look at verse 10 and 11. It says, the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived there, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Paul would often do this. He would go into the synagogue, and he would preach and teach the Word of God. And then it says in verse 11, now these, meaning the Bereans, were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. Noble-minded here could also, in some translations, be called open-minded. But I think he's talking about the integrity that these people had. And why do they have integrity? What sets them apart from everybody else? He tells us in the very next part of the verse. Notice in verse 11, he says, for they received the word with great, notice the word, with great eagerness. There's a readiness. They want to listen. They're not just hearing, but they're actually listening to what's being preached and taught. And then what are they going and doing? Examining in their own time. You and I need to be hearers of the Word. We need to listen to the Word. Now, I want to stop for just a moment and think about the application of this text. And we need to recognize that there is something implied in this commandment when Paul says, or James says rather, be quick to hear or quick to listen. And here's the implication. We should regularly position our life to hear the Word of God. That should be a regularity in our life. We need to position ourselves to regularly hear the Word of God. Gathering on Sundays in a church that preaches and teaches the Word of God is a non-negotiable. If you go to a church that doesn't preach and teach the Word of God, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your family's time. We need to position ourselves to be in the presence of God's Word being preached and taught. The attitude should never be for us, if we have time, right? That so often happens in the church. If we have time and there's nothing else important, then we'll gather under the Word. But no, James says we need to be quick to listen to the Word of God. Also, we need to study. In our private time. We need to have a steady devotional life. We need to treat that as we would treat it like daily bread. That it's something we have to have in order to sustain ourselves. But here is the principle applied. Yes, we need to be listening to the Word of God, but we must come to this task undistracted. So I want to ask you a question. Is that how you come to worship? Do you come eager and ready and prepared, or are you distracted? You know, I know it's easy, and I see it so often in the church, and I'm not being cranky and distasteful when I say this because I know how easy it is we come into the auditorium and the service hasn't started, and we're all on our phones, or we're playing games, or we're checking emails, or we're sending text messages, or anything like that. And you know what happens sometimes in the service is that distracts our minds. It distracts us from receiving the Word of God. I think that's what James is emphasizing here, is this readiness and this preparedness to receive the Word of God. Back in October, and I think I may have mentioned this, but it's such a perfect illustration of this. Gretchen and I went to a church out in California. I'd been looking forward to this really honestly from the point that I got saved. And a lady there introduced us to the pastor, which we thought we'd waited in line several times to meet him. And so we finally got in there and she said, I'm going to put you behind the pastor and his wife. And we're talking thousands and thousands of people there. And so we were just a couple rows back. We could see him, see his wife. And he got up there to preach, had the Bible open, was just going through like we're doing today, verse by verse, line upon line. And I looked over, and the associate pastor, he had his phone out, and he was doing like this. Now, he wasn't looking at Scripture. And the only reason I've got Facebook, I could tell that he was on his Facebook. Now, do you think he heard anything? Do you think he heard anything? No. Do you think I heard anything from that point on? No, because I was trying to see what he was looking at on Facebook the whole time. We need to listen to the Word of God. Now, I want you to turn back to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and I want you to see the next thing that James says in verse 19. Everyone must be quick to hear and slow to speak. Now, what James says next is still directly tied to how we interact with the Word of God, but specifically how we become better listeners. He says we need to be slow to speak. This doesn't say that we never speak, but that we should be slow to speak. Parents, I'm sure you've said to your children at some point or another, God gave you two ears and one mouth, and He did that for a reason, because we need to listen more than we talk, especially when it comes to the Bible. Now, as we think about the application of this, I don't think that James is suggesting or even worried that they would be gathered in a context like this and that there would be people blurting things out in the middle of the sermon. I don't think that's what James is thinking. But I do think that James is addressing the likely tendency that all of us have to voice skepticism against everything we find problematic in the Bible. I know this for a fact because you may have met someone who's never even read the Bible, and everything you say, maybe in a Sunday school class or something, they raise their hand and they have an objection to it. Have you ever met anybody like that? Immediately they're skeptical of what's being said in the Bible. Immediately they want to throw forth an objection to the Bible. They want to disagree with it. Well, this is a person, James would say, doesn't really have ears to hear. So is there a biblical example of this? Yes. I want you to turn to a very complicated passage in Romans chapter 9. Go to your left, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and Romans. Go to Romans chapter 9. And I want to show you an example of this. Paul gives us an example of what we're talking about when we say being slow to speak. Look at verse 15 in Romans chapter 9. Everybody, you just have to be patient with me this morning, okay? We're dealing with all kinds of technical difficulties. Romans chapter 9, verse 15. For he says to Moses, the he here is talking about God the Father. He says to Moses in the Old Testament, we know this is the Old Testament because it's all capital letters, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. He concludes, so then it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. Brothers and sisters, simply what this is saying in the most straightforward way is you and I are saved by grace. We're not saved of our own volition, if you will. That's what he's saying here. And then he says, for the Scripture says to Pharaoh, for this reason I raised you up to demonstrate my power in you and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole world. So then, he has mercy on whom he has mercy, and he, notice the second part of this, hardens whom he desires. Now, I want you to stop right here. This is a hard thing to hear. And I promise you, as I read this, some of you are objecting in your mind. And here's what you're saying. Well, that's not fair. That's not fair. But would you look at the very next words that Paul writes? You will say to me then, do you see it here? This is our common tendency to hear the Word of God, to hear something difficult, and rather than humbling ourselves before the Word of God, we object to it. And that's exactly what he says here in verse 19. You will say to me, why does he still find fault? For who resists his will? And I want you to notice what Paul says. Verse 20. On the contrary, who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Paul anticipates exactly what James is teaching. We need to listen more than we speak when it comes to the Word of God. We need to humble ourselves, because all of us have this verbal banter that goes on in our head. Here's what we'll say. Well, that's not what I grew up believing. I'm not just saying this section of Scripture. I'm saying many sections of Scripture. That's not what I grew up believing. That isn't what I was taught. That isn't the God I serve. Well, I get it. In Paul's day, that may have been considered a sin, but we have much more knowledge now in the 21st century. Or my favorite one is this. Well, scientists have now disapproved, or they have disproved this or that truth about Scripture. You're agreeing with the scientist. I don't believe it, kid. I thought you would not object. Here's objecting in the middle of my sermon. How many of you understand, and I'm just going to bring this up, how many of you understand that things that are believed to be scientific fact often change? It's not that we don't want science or need science, but it changes. And so often what we're saying in the biblical text is, that's not the way it is now. We live in the 21st century and we know better. We have that banter that goes on in our head. Instead, we should be humbling ourselves and saying, God, You're the authority. My feelings are not the authority. Give me the ability to understand. And here's why I want to show you this, or say this to you. Would you look at verse 21? Go back to James chapter 1 and verse 21. This is something we're going to flesh out next week, so we want you to come back. Verse 21, notice what it says here. We got to put aside all filthiness, all that remains of wickedness, and in humility receive the word implanted. We must be slow to speak. Now the last thing that he says, in being better listeners of the word, he has one more commandment here, that we need to be, in verse 19, slow to anger. The Bible says there are times that we can express anger, and it's not sinful. At least it encourages us to be angry and not sin. I'll give you an example of this. You can just write it in the margin of your Bible. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. There, Paul says essentially, be angry and yet do not sin in your anger. That's what he says. But apparently when anger is directed toward the Word of God, it's always going to be sinful or wrong. And how do I know this? Well, would you look back at verse 20? He says, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. You see, the goal of the Word of God is to mature us. The goal of the Word of God is to mature us. But if we're angry, guess what that's going to do? It's going to impede that progress. Now, I want to ask you an honest question. I've been asking some very pointed questions today. Have you ever been maybe in a counseling setting, or somebody's privately rebuking you or something, and you're angry when they're telling you what they're telling you? How many of you are even remotely considering executing on what they're telling you to do if you're angry? The answer is 0% chance. If you're angry when someone's talking to you and they're giving you the best advice in the world, you will not do what they tell you to do. And so there's this real danger that if we don't come to the Word and humble ourselves before God and say, God, You're the authority. No matter what we find, no matter what we read, You're the authority. Help us to believe it, to hear it, to internalize it, and to understand it. That's the only way we can receive the Word of God accurately, is we cannot be angry at the Word of God. Now, the goal of the Word is to mature us. And that anger will, as I said, impede that progress. Now, some of you are sitting here this morning, much like I was as I was preparing this, and you say, Pastor Greg, I understand there may be times that I hear the Word and I banter back and forth or I object, but I would never get angry. I would never get angry. Do you humbly receive the Word when it exposes your sin? I don't know if you've ever had anybody rebuke you Is your first thing, even if they're right, is your first thing say, brother, sister, man, I appreciate that. I'm going to receive that. How many of you are that way? But how many of you have had someone rebuke you and it's true, and the first thing you do is you bristle. You get angry. Well, same thing happens when the Word of God exposes our sin or when it corrects our faulty theology that we've held on to so tightly. And we say, no, that's not what I understood this to be or I understood growing up. That's what he's talking about. We cannot be angry. What about when the Word of God insists that you forgive others and you have someone in your life that you don't want to forgive? Has it ever inflamed you to anger? That's the warning here. We have to be slow to anger. Now, we may think, if we read the Scriptures accurately, that only unbelievers are marked by indifference to the Word of God. The unbeliever's not angry, but they're just indifferent to the Word of God. They say things like this, oh, well, if it doesn't exist, if God does exist, He doesn't care what I'm doing. But have you ever paid attention in the Bible to how often the Word of God, when it's preached, elicits the emotion of anger? Let me just give you some examples. They threw Jeremiah into a cistern full of mud because he was preaching the truth of God's Word. Do you remember that kind of a depressing scene? They throw him in there, there's no water in it, but there's mud, and Jeremiah just sinks into there until they pull him out with some ropes. Or Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 40, he says, thus saith the Lord, and they yell to Jeremiah, you're a liar. You're a liar. Or what about Jesus? Everybody loved Jesus, right? Jesus comes and he's meek and mild. He teaches the Word of God. And what happens when Jesus teaches the Word of God in Luke chapter 4? It said, all the people in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things. And guess what they tried to do to Jesus? They literally tried to push him off the edge of a cliff because they were so angry with him. Or what about Stephen, the bold preacher of the gospel in Acts chapter 7? He concludes his sermon and it says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the quick and they began gnashing their teeth at him. I don't know if you know what gnashing of the teeth is a symbol of, but it's a symbol of anger. It's a symbol that we're not happy with what we just heard. Now, this is not only possible with unbelievers, and it often happens there, but it's often present with believers and followers of Jesus Christ as well. I want you to turn over to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Brad Stone, where's Brad Stone? Did he slip out? Oh, he's hiding. He's hiding in the car over there. Hi, Brad. I was going to say, just do audio only on this week. I'm joking. Galatians chapter 4. Paul has taught the church at Galatia what to believe about the gospel. He brings it to them. He confronts them in their disobedience to the gospel. And notice what he says in verse 16. Have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? He's talking to professing believers here that are angry at him because he's told them the truth. He's saying they're actually looking at him as if he's the enemy of the church. This can happen if we're not careful, even with believers and followers of Jesus Christ. So, a couple of things to consider in the way of application. Anytime that we are in the presence of God's Word, we need to be careful listeners. Every time that it's opened, every time that it's read, every time that it's preached, every time that it's taught in any setting, or if we're in our personal devotional life, we need to be careful listeners. We need to be humble because the Word of God is the standard. We're not the standard. Our emotions are not the standard. It is the standard. And so here's what we need to do when we're in the presence of the Lord. God, help me to understand and believe. Give me the patience to carefully Search the scriptures. Give me the patience to weigh one passage against another before I'm so quick to speak and object to something that I find. Then we need to listen and to obey. That's ultimately, by the way, where James is leading us to, is the reason that we need to be careful listeners is because he's calling us to a life of obedience. I'm begging you next week to be back here. Because the message is so important when we talk about obedience to the Word of God. But I want to present to you a really important truth this morning. There is one message in the Bible that surpasses all other messages in the area of listening and obeying. All of the Word is to be believed and obeyed, but we can't get there until we've heard the gospel and believed the gospel. Until we've listened to the gospel and obeyed the gospel. And what is the gospel? That Jesus Christ has come to die in the place of sinful people who rebelled against their Creator, who shook their fist in the face of God and said, God, I'll do it my own way. And God says there's only really one way to get reconciled back to Him, and it's through Jesus Christ. And the Bible actually says we need to hear that message and obey that. And what does obedience to that message look like? Believing. Trusting. Saying, God, there's only one way, and I'm going to trust that you've given us the right way. Would you stand? Again, I thank you for being here and humbly receiving the Word of God. Humbly putting ourselves before the Lord and being good listeners. But I want to pray for us as we go into the world today that we would be hearers and doers of the Word. Father, we're so thankful for Your Word. We're so thankful for what it accomplishes in our life. And Lord, maybe the mirror, as James says, has just been put in our face. Maybe we're the ones who hear but don't really listen. Maybe we're the ones who object too often when we've never read the Bible. We're skeptical when we don't know what one scripture says to confirm the other scriptures. Maybe far too often, God, we find ourselves angry because we agree more with the world than we do with the Word of God. And so, Lord, if those are our attitudes today, I pray that You would eradicate them out by the power of Your Holy Spirit, that You would continue to work in us and through us, bring us to that place of obedience. Lord, I also pray for those who have thus far rejected the gospel. They've refused to hear it. They refused to submit to it. That You would give them the ears to hear. That You would give them the hearts of obedience. And Lord, we bring this all before You and ask it be answered in the name of Christ. Amen.